Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Welcome 96.5 The Fan, Jay Binkley. No CDOT. CDOT is traveling to the Kentucky Derby. This is travel day. CDOT's got the outfits prepared. He's ready for the Kentucky Derby. But the Kansas City Royals that you just heard, then you heard the great Josh Vernier after that. But the Royals win again today, 8-2. Guess what? They scored more than four runs. They'd gone, 27 out of 31 games where they've scored four runs or less. Still have a winning record. That's what good pitching will do for you. Doesn't matter today, 8 runs for the Kansas City Royals. Now, 5 times this season, they've had 4 runs or more. Bobby Witt Jr. extends that hitting streak to 22 games with a 2-run shot. So things are looking good for the boys in blue. 3 straight series wins. They already had this series won, but they swept the Rays. They hit the Baltimore now before Kimmy Home for America's Booty called the Chicago White Sox for 4. Don't forget, that team spawned the Royals to a 7-game winning streak last year. They went to Chicago, weren't playing that great. They had that 4-game winning streak in a row, swept the White Sox, ended up going 12-1 against them last year. Had turned into a 7-game winning streak, but this team doesn't need it. They've won 9 of the last 10 games. Bobby Witt Jr. extends that hitting streak to 22 games, and all looks good. Seth Lugo on the mound today, continuing doing what the Royals do. 2 earned runs for Seth Lugo, 5 strikeouts, no walks, did give up that home run in that bandbox minor league ballpark in St. Pete, Steinbrenner Field, where they've kicked the A-ball team of the Yankees to the side. They have a little made-up stadium to the side of it. They brought in bleachers and everything else. Now, the one in Sacramento where the A's play, they actually share that stadium with the AAA team of the Giants, so they actually share that one. This one, the Rays just completely took over, but didn't matter today. 8-2 for the Kansas City Royals. Bobby Witt Jr., man, this guy, this guy is so much fun to watch. It's fun to listen to, fun to hear. Here's what it sounded like on the radio today.
Fastball bashed high in the air, deep to the right field corner. Meisner turns around. It's gone. An opposite field shot down the right field line. A 2-run homer for Bobby Witt Jr., and that puts the Royals in front. 3-1 in the top of the 5th inning.
That is one way to extend your hitting streak is Bobby Witt Jr. 3 ribs today for Bobby. One was that tip by pitch. Runner goes in. He did have that home run there, but ended up getting 3 ribs off the one hit. His batting average 322 now. He's Yeah, in the last 29, 30 games, I think he's hit nine or 10 doubles. The guy just continues extra base hits. Got the home run today, extended to 22 on to Baltimore. As I said, then they'll face the White Sox when they get back to Kansas City. But 22 games for Bobby, 9 of the last 10 for the Royals. We've had some fun. We'll bring it up later. But the FanGraphs and Baseball Reference has odds to make the postseason. I remember sitting in here, Rob, when the Royals first started. C-Dot was sick, I believe. I came in here and I talked some Royals. We led with Royals, actually, the 2 days I was in here. But obviously a lot of draft talk as well. But the one thing I did say is this division will be a two-horse race. It'll come down to Detroit, and it'll come down to the Kansas City Royals. Those two teams are the ones to watch for. I get it. They lost 2 of 3 to Cleveland at home. Things happen. Baseball's a marathon, not a sprint. I'll get to some of these odds later, but the Royals do have a better odds than Cleveland. But how about them damn Royals, Rob?
I mean, this team, if they're not the best in base, playing the best baseball in baseball right now, I'd like to see the team who is, because they've won 9 of 10.
Yeah, 9 of 10.
Now, if someone wants to poke holes in and say, well, it's the Rockies and the Rays, that's fine, but that only can play the teams on the schedule ahead of them. And we talked about it on the drive yesterday with Carrington. That week, that road trip where they had Detroit and they had, I forget the other team, but they struggled. They couldn't beat anyone on the road.
But Houston was mixed in there, in all fairness.
Yeah, Houston was mixed in there. It felt like, oh, here we go. Like, it's going to unravel in April. It feels like, how many times, Bink, have we talked about, oh, boy, the team had a fun September, but if they hadn't had that bad April, they would have been something to watch. It felt like that was happening again. Then they got a gritty, grimy win against Tarik Skubal, and since then, this has been the team we anticipated seeing in the spring. This has been the team that we were told that we are going to see down in spring training. It is Jonathan India getting on base, Bobby Witt Jr. being a star, Perez and Pasquantino carrying their weight, and suddenly Michael Garcia looks like they might have another weapon on their offense, and we haven't even gotten to the pitching yet, which might be the best rotation in baseball, which includes Noah Cameron yesterday, who came up, and they don't have space for him, but he was fantastic. Yeah. Like,
Welker from St. Joe. I think he might have been too young to go to Uncle D's at that point, but and drink at Uncle D's, but regardless, props to St. Joe. And by the way, he's back in Omaha.
I mean, this is the team they talked about in February. This is exactly what the plan was, and as a Royals fan, you hope they are through. You know, there'll be another rough stretch, but you feel like, all right, you got through the first one. There might be a second or third one. That's the ebb and flow of baseball. But this 9 of 10 has completely washed out that long losing streak. And now I know that, you know, they're playing the Angels tonight, and it's probably too early to be score watching, but you're 2.5 back of the division, right in the heart of a wild card race, despite the fact where a week ago you were 5 games under .500.
Detroit hadn't had a good week.
Fantastic.
Detroit has not had a good week, so this is good for the Royals. This is good for the Royals. By the way, Michael Garcia, that you mentioned, 3 for 5 today for the Royals. He's now hit .296 on the season. How about Vinny? Vinny's average does go back to .185, but he did have 2 hits today. He was 2 for 6, 2 ribs for Vinny. Hey, man, Vinny will turn around. He's too good of a hitter not to be a threat in this Royals lineup. And what more can you say about Bobby Witt Jr.? This is this guy is so much fun to watch, man. I mean, he's worth going to the ballpark. He's worth going to see. He's now become that dude that people check in on. And I wish that Major League Baseball did this. And I've talked about it before. We select 3 guys and you can watch every at-bat that they do. You pay the little subscription fee or whatever, and you can watch every at-bat from Bobby Witt Jr. But people check in on it. Hey, did Bobby Witt Jr. have a hit? It's kind of like the draft. Because believe it or not, even people that didn't really follow the draft, which, to be honest with you, I did every second of it because I was on the air for it. But also I did to watch every second. But what about the people that were casual? Talked to Scott Parks, who was around the office here, and Dana that were around there. I was down there talking to them a couple days ago about the draft and Shedeur Sanders slide. They wanted to talk some Shedeur, so I did. But Scott was in Mexico, and he had left his phone up in his room because he was just having fun in Mexico. But he'd go up there and see where Shedeur went. Dana Wright was keeping track of where he went. Bobby's now become that too. The casual baseball fan checks in. Hey, did Bobby get a hit? Bobby Witt Jr. get a hit? Like, the casual of casual baseball fans know who Bobby Witt Jr. is. I always use my 78-year-old mother as a litmus test. She watches every Chiefs game, big into Mahomes and everything he's doing. But she'll ask me, hey, did Bobby have a hit tonight? because she cares. But she watched the Royals from time to time, but she cares what Bobby Witt Jr. is doing. And I said, yes, Bobby Witt. For the last 22 days now, I will have said Bobby Witt Jr. got a hit today. What were you doing 20 days ago, Rob? Do you remember?
I have no idea.
I don't. It was before the draft. I remember that.
20 days ago. It would have been
22 days ago.
Good night. That would have been what? The 13th, maybe, or something like that?
Yeah, because we're on May 1. We're in May 1. We've already flipped the calendar to May 1.
Other than
maybe
paying taxes, something like this. Something like that.
Probably paying taxes for you. But as far as fan graphs are concerned, I like looking at fan graphs. To make the playoffs in the American League, the Red Sox have the best odds, 59.2%, followed by the Astros, 58.4%. And this is for the wild card, by the way. The Rangers, 49%, followed by the Royals at 40.5% now. The Twins at 36.2%. Where are the Guardians at? Another 33.6%. I think the check will come due for them. Now, if you look at a baseball reference and you look at some of these odds to make the postseason, I mean, there's certainly teams. 95.2% chance for the Yankees. These Rays, by the way, everybody said this is such an easy series for against the Rays. 55.8% chance for the Rays to make the postseason. People really like their chances. Detroit Tigers, by the way, 99.5% chance as of this baseball reference, followed by the Kansas City Royals, 67.4%, followed by Cleveland with a whopping 35.3%. So, yes, I do believe the check will come due eventually for Cleveland. Yeah, anybody can get hot against the Royals and win. Were the Royals actually playing as well as they are now when they played Cleveland earlier? No. And the one thing is, the bats will get hotter. As now the calendar flips to May, you start getting to June, everything else. Will the bats heat up? Yeah. Will this pitching be this good down the stretch, middle of summer for the Royals? I mean, the odds would say no. But this, but they had two of the top four pitchers in the Cy Young last year. And Bubich and Lorenzen are pitching crazy at this point. So much so that you call up a guy like Noah Cameron, and he flirts with no-hitter into the seventh yesterday. Now he's back in Omaha. Why? Because you're on speed dial, Rob. If you need somebody, Noah will come up. This will get him consistent starts in Omaha. And I get it. So many people are like, wait, we can't find a spot for this dude? Don't you want this dude to continue to get starts? Like, where would you put him in this rotation? You wouldn't, would you, Rob? You wouldn't put him in this rotation. Why? Because this rotation is already good. And he gave up a little two more walks.
The Noah Cameron thing is fascinating to me because
he's on speed dial.
Joel Goldberg says on the show yesterday, so you know I'll credit him. Having a pitcher who came up and was successful and then goes right back down to AAA is like having a great backup quarterback.
Yes.
It gives you options.
Great.
So now, you know, the Royals are going to be hunting for a bat in about 2 months when the trade deadline comes calling. Like, I feel like pretty confident that's going to happen. Now, with Noah Cameron as a basically sixth starter down in AAA being successful, it now creates options. You could trade Noah Cameron and maybe get a club control bat back. Maybe you trade Michael Lorenzen, a guy who's on a 1-year contract, because you know, hey, we'll send him out. We can always bring Noah Cameron up. We don't really lose a beat. Like, Noah Cameron's success, it kind of reminds me of, remember when Matt Flynn came in for the Packers that one game?
That's
true. Football now is perfect for you.
Back in Seattle.
Yeah, he was out, and then he got the big contract in Seattle. Like, having a great backup quarterback gives you nothing but options with trades and possibilities. So, the Royals have the best problem possible at their rotation. They have too many good starting pitchers.
And right now, I know Michael Massey, today 1-4. You want to see him hit. I do believe he can hit. We've all seen him hit. Do I think he will hit? I do. He's hitting 190 right now. But again, can these bats turn around? Vinny's been playing better. Ever since Cody Tapp warmed up with the new Vinny Pasquantino song, dude's on fire, man. Dude's on a roll. I like that for Vinny. I like watching Vinny play. I like the Pasquatch. I like everything that comes with it. Do I think his bat will come up? Yeah. And Jonathan India today goes 1-4. India is one of my favorite dudes on this team. I'm sorry. When you take, how much was that fastball that Clase hit him in the face with? Was it 98? Was it 98 miles an hour?
Yeah, I think it was 98.
98.
It was straight fastball. I know that. Four-seamer.
Yeah, and he plays the next day. See, I like guys like that because he could, you know, do a lot of the baseball excuses, not play the next day or who knows, 4 days later, who knows. But he did. He comes to plays the next day because he wants to play. Is he batting where you want him to bat? No. But he will. He'll turn around eventually. But I love Jonathan Indy on this team. I just like this lineup in this team. They're scrappers at this point. They just are. They're not getting beauty contest wins, but the bottom line is, do you have a W or do you have an L? And they have W's. Look at the Chiefs last year. They weren't winning a beauty contest. They're winning a bunch of one-score games. But you know what? They found a way to go 15-2 in the regular season because they fought, they scrapped, and they did things. And now the Royals living up to last season when everybody was high on them at the beginning of the year saying, well, they had that playoff experience last year. That can be good if you use it. I remember 2014, and the Royals swept everybody until they got to the Giants in the World Series, ended up going to Game 7. They didn't have postseason experience on the team. James Shields did. But most of those guys didn't have postseason experience. They were kind of learning for the first time. Hosmer, Moose, those guys, Perez, those guys are kind of learning as they go, you know, playing with the Royals. But this year, I do think it matters. I think with Vinny and Bobby, teams that, you know, have seen 100 losses with this team, turn it around and all of a sudden you make the postseason because now they know it's possible. Now they know what can be achieved. And now they know they can win in Kansas City because they did it last year. And I do believe they'll do it again this year. They're a tough out. Nobody wants to play them at this point. Now, the defense got to turn around, but we saw the defense getting better in this series. These are things, little things that they can do well. And they can do that. They can't play defense. But pitching is the premium. Pitching is what you hope for. Because you don't have one of those days where you're like, guess who's on the mound? We're going to give up 8 runs. Those days are not here, knock on wood. Anyway, we'll take a timeout, come back, talk a little more Royals and what really catapulted this offense, go over that, plus maybe some draft stuff as well. Have to look back on that next.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, your home for the best food takes in KC.
Regular old American nachos. You know, I don't need jalapenos with mine, just chips. Cheese.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And welcome back to The Drive. Carrington Harrison on a travel day. He's doing one of those bucket list items, going to Kentucky Derby. It's on my list, to be honest with you. I don't know where your list sits, Rob. Is Kentucky Derby on your list of bucket list items? I mean, obviously, probably the Masters is with you. Just guessing.
The Masters is. I would love to go to the Derby.
Yeah.
But I feel like if I go to the Derby, I got to do it up. I got to get, like, in one of the nice seats. I wouldn't sit on the infield and, you know, do that. I would, you know, have a fancy seat, wear a suit, have a cocktail, like really, really do it up if I'm going to go to the Derby. I don't think the Derby's expensive. You sit on the infield, but that's not how I want to do it when I go.
Don't want to do it like that. The text line is 913-586-7965, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Texter says, 913 says, well, the Royals and Mets are playing the best in baseball. Well, the Mets have lost two straight. They lost their second straight to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Today, they played earlier today. They did go on a streak where they won 10 of 12. And then they've lost the last two straight. They do come to Kansas City the 11th, 12th, and 13th of July. It's kind of funny because Gene Battaglia did host sports in Rochester, New York. They cover the Bills. They have the Bills games and Sabres and everything else. It's an Odyssey station. And they've been coming on, and we've been going with them. I think Gold and I go in there quite a bit, and they come on here a couple times a year because the Chiefs and Bills, they've kind of had this little thing going on between the two, as you know, and it's been fun, but man, do we get the best of them. The funny thing is, and I had to tell Gene, I said that Friday night that we go to the game, they're commemorating the 2015 World Champions, Eric Hosmer bobblehead night. Of course, you're sitting there with the Mets fan. He's a big Mets fan because he's from the New York area, so obviously, Kansas City always gets the best out of Buffalo, but that's just too bad. But the Royals, too. Here's the thing. They had gone on a stretch where 3 of 5 games were shutouts. When did you ever expect this with the Royals? Yeah, as far as getting more than 4 runs, which they did today, they got double that. They got 8 today. But there's only 5 of those games. They played 32 games. It is hard to believe the Royals have played 32 games, but they have 32 games now in the books. back on 3/31. They scored 11 against Milwaukee, won 11-1. Against Baltimore, they won 8-2 back on the 4th of April. Then on the 24th of April, two games. Colorado, 7-4 and 6-2 in a doubleheader. And then, of course, today they went 8-2. But Colorado came at the right time, Rob, didn't they? Because last year was going and playing the Chicago White Sox for four. That spawned a seven-game winning streak for the Kansas City Royals. But didn't Colorado feel like that for the Royals this year? The team was under 500 at the point. Here come the Rockies. Certainly there are some end-of-the-night girls to take home. The Rockies are one of them. Thankfully, the Rockies exist and the White Sox exist to kind of push the Royals in the right direction.
I mean, when the Rockies series happened, me and Carrington were saying, it doesn't matter the how, just win the series. And frankly, one of the games in that series, I believe, went to extra innings. They won. They then swept the Rockies and have been red hot since. Like, I saw this stat, and Dusty Likens from Fesco and Dusty tweeted out that they were six games under 500 about a week ago, and now they're tied for the fourth best record in baseball. It's sometimes the schedule smiles on you. It just does. Like, sometimes it doesn't. Like, you saw with the Chiefs that one year, they had all those games jumbled up around the Christmas time, and Mitch Holtis gave the stat. They had, you know, the least amount of days off in between games. Sometimes the schedule doesn't smile on you. Sometimes it does. The Royals needed a get-right series, a chance to get back in the win column, and they took that series win against the Rockies. They swept them, and it has propelled them to becoming one of the best teams in baseball. And like I said earlier, they are playing the way we anticipated them playing. The question now is, can they sustain it, as the rest of the schedule is also pretty soft? Like, the Orioles coming up are not good. They have talent, but they are not playing good baseball. After that are the literal White Sox, not just the White Sox, you know, the literal White Sox.
Say, well, don't forget about Baltimore coming up. Okay, yeah, but Baltimore sucks right now.
Baltimore's what, 10-16? I mean, Baltimore's not, and they can't pitch at all. So you feel like, man, that's another get-right series. Like, the Royals did exactly what everyone asked them to do. Tread water through the hard part, and now start feasting on the soft part and get some wins. And if you look up and it's Memorial Day and this team's four or five games over 500, you feel really good about the boys this summer headed into June.
They were 8-8 that last game against Cleveland. They lost 2 of 3 to Cleveland. They beat Cleveland the final day, 4-2. Then comes the six-game losing streak where they were swept in New York, and then they lost 3 of 4 to Detroit. They finally beat Detroit. They go to 9-14. Then they come home and play the Rockies. They go to 10-14 because they went to 11 innings, like you said, that 4-3 game. Then you had the postponed game with rain. Then you swept the doubleheader. This team goes to 12-14. Then the Houston Astros come in. They get to 14-14. They lose that final one, go to 14-15. They flip. They're now 17-15 because of sweeping the Rays. In Houston, the Royals last year, 3-4 against the Astros. I mean, they did have a losing record against them. The Astros have been a good team. They went to, what, 7 straight ALCS? But the year before that, the Astros were 1-5 against the Royals. They just find a way to beat that team. But, yes, the Royals in Baltimore for 3, Michael Wacha, Bubich, and then hopefully Cole Reagans on the mound, back-to-back games for the Royals before playing the White Sox for 4 at home. You kidding me? You get that team in Kansas City? Wow. Good things happen when you have the Royals, but the runs. I mean, they got 8 today. This is big for this team because, again, will the bats start to heat up? You flip the calendar to May. We're in May now. It's May 1st. Can you start to go? And will the pitching come back? I mean, I'd like to say the law of averages say the pitching will come back to some extent. Do I expect Lorenzen to pitch this way all year or Wacha? I mean, average pitching, yes. But Reagans, yeah, I can expect him to continue doing what he does. And Lugo, you continue to think that he's going to be as good as he was, because we're talking about number 2 and number 4 in the Cy Young Award last year. But the bottom might come back to reasonable. But guess what? The batting will inevitably heat up. I mean, this is fun. This is a fun time to be here. Cody and Gold, they have 215 people now going to see Cags play in Springfield this weekend. 215. They had hoped to get, what, 150 to go down there? The Royals fans, man, they stood up. Said, we want to go see some Carter Jensen. We want to see some Jack Hagelino. Obviously, this is a Cags trip to go down to Springfield and watch them play the Springfield Cardinals. But they got 215 dudes now and ladies going down to Springfield to watch that game. That's incredible. That's excitement from the Royals fan base. People that believe in this team. People that want a fun summer for this team. People that want to go beyond Chiefs in training camp in St. Joe when they can start worrying about the punting battle. They would like to see a continuation of the Kansas City Royals being good. I mean, here we are in a city where not many good things happen. Well, they have lately because the last 12, 13 years have been really good in this town as far as winning championships. But the Royals will be fun. Be fun. Go out and grab a beer, a dog, whatever, and see the Royals win. See what Bobby Wood Jr. does. Because, again, this guy is worth price of admission every single time you go to the ballpark. Well, one thing is for sure, Rob. I joined you guys earlier this week on Monday, I believe. The draft's over. Any more thoughts on the draft? I'm not going to ask you a grade. You can grade it if you want, but I think grades at this point are, I don't like grades. I never have.
I saw Scott Van Pelt on his podcast said this. Grades are a waste of everyone's time and energy. Me and you don't know. There are times where people in the facility like, hey, we project a guy, but they don't know until they know. Or how many times have you heard about a guy they draft in the sixth round trying to be a star? You don't know until you don't know. So I think grades are a fruitless exercise.
Yeah, it's just like a couple years ago in training camp. You know, I remember Mitch Holtus sitting there enjoying his very first day of pads, right, when the starters are going. He's, I expect Trey Smith to slide right in, be a starter. And he did. I mean, it was a battle. I mean, last year, you know, Zwanee Morris was a starter. They get up to training camp, and boom, all of a sudden, it's Kingsley that they drafted the second round. They had high hopes for, and it didn't pan out quite to the way they wanted to. That's the way football goes. Sometimes guys pan out 100%. Sometimes it's more of a project, more of can you bend them? And again, there's egos around the NFL where they think everybody's going to fit into a particular system. One of the guys they drafted, though, because they did draft some guys on this team that I really like. Do you have a favorite by chance, Rob, on who you like? Is there a favorite one of these guys
Noel
that stands
Williams.
Up? That's mine. Williams is my favorite.
He seems like the prototypical Spags corner. He seems like he's destined to be really good in Kansas City.
Yeah, it's funny because some people, I heard that Roxy that came on with you, he was talking about Noel and talking about the run game and stuff like that. Dane Brugler, that I respect tremendously when it comes to draft coverage, you know, in his beast guide, he said that Noel's a very good tackler. He goes, he sets stands. So it depends on who you talk to. His coach even told us he's a great tackler. But Ashton Gilletti is a guy that I really like out of Louisville. This is a guy I think you all are going to like. I heard Carrington kind of talking about him a lot yesterday. You guys have talked a lot of Ashton. You guys have talked that. Do you actually believe in that pick? I mean, of course, we don't know yet until we see him play. You never know until they play in the NFL. You just don't.
I think he has higher upside than Omar Norman Lott. And of the two second, third round of the picks they had back to back, basically 63 and 66, I'm way more excited about Ashton Gilletti than I am Omar Norman Lott.
And that's fair. That's fair. Well, again, we'll see what guys could do. But Ashton Gilletti is a guy, as Andy Reid said, you can never have enough good pass rushers. He said this many times. Said it when they drafted Felix, just keep throwing darts. Get your pass rusher. It's such an elite position. Think of elite positions like left tackle, edge rusher, shut down corners, wide receivers. Of course, the quarterback is your number one position, but not just outside the quarterback, what positions. But you have to be able to get to the quarterback because the Chiefs were in Super Bowl 57, they were number two in the NFL in sacks. The next year against San Francisco, they were number two in the NFL in sacks. They slid back and tied for 18th. This past year and getting to the quarterback, and you saw how important that is. I mean, Philly was getting to Mahomes. They didn't even blitz. There was no like design blitzes. They were just getting to him with their front. But it's very important to get back to the quarterback. So I like Barron, the best pick in the first round from the AFC West, Jede Barron from Texas, the cornerback to Denver. I didn't like the rest of their draft in Denver. I thought that was pretty pedestrian. But the first round, I thought they did better. And that's over Ashton Gentry and Omarion Hampton that we're drafted in the AFC West. Everybody AFC West load up these running backs. I'm like, who cares? That doesn't stop the Kansas City Chiefs. That doesn't stop Patrick Mahomes. If you're going to use the excuse, well, they can eat up the clock. Well, maybe so. But a shutdown corner, opposite side, Patrick Surtain, that is how you go and combat Patrick Mahomes. I had their head coach on, Jeff Brohm, who played for a lot of NFL teams. Former quarterback, played in the XFL, did a lot of different things. Brohm's a very aggressive individual. He was George Karloftis's coach at Purdue, and Hagan, his defensive coordinator, came with him from Purdue to Louisville. So they had Ashton Gilletti as well, and they corresponded, gave each other the phone numbers. And so George Karloftis, believe it or not, actually did film study with Ashton way before he was even a Chief. They would do film study. What are you doing right? What are you doing wrong? I loved it, man, because it showed George kind of in that coaching role getting into it. And I'll say this much, too. When Ashton gets to Kansas City, you know, in the offseason, Tom Bali works with George a lot on his hands and jujitsu fighting and everything else. I guarantee Ashton will be part of that, too. I mean, heck, his brother's an MMA fighter, so you know he's going to be doing that. But Jeff Brohm, the head coach at Louisville, I asked him about this because Ashton talked about this when he was drafted in this press conference. He talked about George Karloftis, and I thought, okay, it's a pretty nice fit having a coach to coach both those guys. But this is where Brohm thinks the best fit is for Ashton, who, by the way, could play three technique, could play five, but he'll probably predominantly play in wide nine on the outside on the edge for the Chiefs. But in Chris Jones fashion, he can move to the inside. This is where Coach Brohm thought was best fit was.
Well, I really see him similar as George. I think, when George came in, you saw him as a defensive end, but can you move him around and do some different things? Yes. And as I watch the games, obviously I don't watch them as much as you guys. I see him on the edge quite a bit. And, Ashton, I think it's very similar. Yes, can you move him inside? Sure you can. And I'm sure they'll be creative in their packages, but he can play defensive end at that size. And he does a great job with it. And I think, don't let the 6'3 size that's not 6'5 confuse you. This guy can play football, and he can get in the backfield, and he does a lot of different ways. So I see him as an edge player, but, of course, any creativity and moving around, I think he'll be great at it.
And one of the big knocks on him through the draft process, talked about a lot, I think it's more important for offensive linemen to hear about arm length all the time, and it is pretty prevalent. NFL teams do look at it. That's one knock on Ashton was his arm length, but, of course, he's on defense, not offense, but it does matter getting around the tackles and what you can do, because certainly at 31, a little over 31-inch arms and going against somebody with 35-inch arms, it can be different. So I asked we asked Jeff Brohm about that.
Well, I think that's the one negative people had on him is maybe he wasn't at that 6'5 range and had that great length. But all players are built differently, and I just think that we knew with Ashton that this guy was going to be demand a lot of attention from the offense, which he did for us this past year. He still created the same amount of pressure, just not as many sacks, but he was in the backfield. He creates tremendous push just by his get off and his power and explosiveness. He's got more quickness than you think. He ran a 4.640 at that weight. So I just think he makes up for it through intensity, through talent, through work ethic. And I think anytime you can get a guy that plays that relentless,
and he can play wherever the Chiefs want him as far as his weight's concerned, whether it's 270, whether it's 280, wherever they want him to play, he'll do it. It is a guy, and I know you're tired of the cliche, that does love the game of football, but I did ask Coach Brohm to give me more comparisons with Karloftis and Ashton.
Well, I'll tell you, it's eerie similar. It really is. I know when we had Ashton here, it's like, man, we might have us another George Karloftis. And, Ashton is just a guy that has a lot of similar traits. I mean, he plays relentless. He's powerful. He gives great effort. He's one of those guys off the field that you don't have to worry about anything. This guy is going to bring it every day at work. He's going to work in the off season to do everything right, just like George has. I think he could be a 10 to 15 year player. He keeps his body healthy. And I just think he's going to give such a great effort and intensity on every play that he's going to do great things for the Chiefs.
10 to 15 year player, Rob. That might be pie in the sky, to be honest with you. 15 years is a long time. That is a long time. Then you're talking about an edge being around 40 years old. I don't think you're going to see that. Hey, if we can get him through two contracts, that's a win. Because eventually things are going to come up with George and his contract and which direction you're going to go. Now, if he's really good with Ashton and they have a good bond, it's going to be harder and harder to get rid of him unless you think you have found George Karloftis' replacements, which I'm not saying they won't go and do, which it could happen.
Here's the thing, and I hope Coach Brohm is correct. Coach Brohm's job is also to go on the radio in Kansas City and tell you how good his player was. It's called recruiting.
Like, he's been nails on so far.
He has been nails, but there's an element of he's recruiting right now. He's letting people in the area know, look, I've put two guys on Kansas City who are good. So I'm a little bit of grain of salt with what he's saying. I'll say this, though. If the Chiefs found George Karloftis in the third round with Ashton Gelati and he hits the ground running, which George Karloftis kind of did. I mean, it took about half a season, but once he got going in Kansas City, he got going. The sad reality is the drafting of Ashton Gelati, if he turns into George Karloftis, probably means the Chiefs are going to walk on actual George Karloftis, because if they found his replacement in the third round and can get equal production out of him, big ifs.
Yeah.
He'll play here for 5 years, then he'll go get paid by someone else, because if they found George Karloftis in round three, they are not keeping real-life George Karloftis on Kansas City's team.
Yeah, I'm with you. A little bit undersized, but he's got that motor. We'll see what happens. I am curious to see both him and George on this team. Again, this collection of pass rushers, they're starting to add up, but I love this draft pick. Wasn't wild about the first round, we know that, but the second and third round, second day and third day, I think they got some viable players. But I'd like to see them go more offense early on. Yeah, but you take a look at who they got, and then you start asking yourself why. Why'd they pick up certain players? You start to realize it, because Ashton led college football in pressures, was 60 last year. It's unbelievable. He had 26 sacks in 50 games at Louisville. He was getting a sack like once every two games. Yeah, the sack productions was down last year, but the pressures were up. He had 60 pressures. So he is pressuring the quarterback and forcing them into errant throws. It's what he does. The other guy is Noel Williams out of Cal. My favorite draft pick, Rob said it was his favorite pick as well. Tall corner, had 14 interceptions in college, played at UNLV, transferred, as a lot of guys are, transferred over to Cal. And they've had five defensive backs drafted under Coach Kevin Wilcox since he's been. He's a former defensive back. He played defensive back at Oregon. He knows defensive backs. He was D coordinator at Tennessee, was at Wisconsin, was at USC, was at Boise State. As a defensive coordinator, he kind of knows what he's looking for. Not only that, but Noel Williams had 9 pass breakups as well. Kind of an underthrown stat when it came to Noel Williams at Cal. And despite what some people say about the attacking the run, his own coach said he could attack the run. Dane Brugler from the B says he attacks the run. Very good against the run in that way. But Noel Williams, his coach, Kevin Wilcox, came on the show as well. Just kind of talked about what kind of guy the Chiefs are getting.
Yeah, we've had some, a bunch of DBs drafted here in the last 5 years, 6 years, and he's got a high football IQ. He loves the game. And so when I talk about the meetings and the game within the game, you know, and playing the game with the receivers and the quarterback and in terms of disguises and splits and, you know, his eye control, all those little things that the great players are good at. He takes that stuff seriously. It's not just a guy that, you know, would come to meeting and just ask, you know, who do I got this week? It was not that. He wanted to understand why we were doing things. And I think he's going to love that. It'll be great for him. And I'm sure it'll be a great challenge for him, but one that he will gladly accept, and he loves football. I mean, I think it just goes back to that. Sure. The guy loves the game. He takes it really seriously, and he wants to be really good at it.
I know we hear that all the time. He loves the game of football. Well, that's actually become pretty prevalent. That is something that is asked a lot of time with the scouts, because you either like being a football player or you want to know the whys. No one wants to know the whys. Forget about just telling me who I'm covering. Tell me why I'm covering. Tell them what they do. He answers the why. He asks that question. He asks questions. I like that. He's also the type of guy, I feel, that'll corner Patrick Mahomes in the locker room and say, all right, when you're throwing against me, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing right? When you see me out there covering your receivers, what are you doing? How are you combating that? He's probably taking notes. It's probably what he's doing. It's how he's built, what he's like. Here's him on tackling, Kevin Wilcox on tackling, because that seems to be the knock that some people say about him tackling, but it's really not been that big of a problem, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, the ball skills, obviously you see the interceptions. He's got great ball skills. He does a really good job, you know, when he's got vision on the quarterback. He's aggressive when the ball is in the air. And as you mentioned, and as I had talked about, he'll tackle. He wants to tackle. He's a competitive guy. And whether it's, you know, making a play on a receiver or a tight end or a back, it's not a guy that shies away from contact. So I loved him. We loved him as a player and as a teammate. He was really a highly respected guy in our building. And again, just super happy.
So again, you look at the whys. I mean, again, you get the guy that led the nation in pressures in Ashton Gelati, Omar Norman Lott, who they picked in the second round. When he was in, 129 pass snaps he saw, had the highest 18.9% win rate. That was the highest in the country for win rate on his limited snaps, but they were pass rush snaps and what he can do. And then you have Noel Williams, who did lead the nation in interceptions. Again, it's not about the who, it's about the why. And This is probably my favorite response by Kevin Wilcox when he talks about two categories of players, because it's so true.
There's two categories. You know, there's guys that love being a football player and guys that love playing football. He's a guy that loves playing football, whether it's one-on-ones or seven-on-seven, you know, Tuesday practice in fall camp or playing against, down at Auburn in front of all those fans. Like, he's going to play the same. He's going to prepare the same because he loves playing the game and not just the things that come with it.
And I will say this. He did pick off Cam Ward. When Cal played Miami this year, he did pick off the number one pick in the draft, Cam Ward. He was one of the guys that had one of the few interceptions that Cam Ward threw and went to the hands of Noel Williams at the University of California. But I love that response. Two types of players, and it's so true. You'll see a guy slip or slide, and you'll say, all right, two categories of players. Those that like being a football player, a lot of guys like that, right? You get the money, you get the fame, you get the girls, you get everything. Being a football player is sometimes cool. But then it's the people that want to be a better football player. Forget about all that stuff. How can I be a better football player? I like that. I like the fact he's that type of player. I like the fact the Chiefs will look for those type of players because that stuff matters. It doesn't always matter, you know, just being a football player. That stuff's great. This stuff comes with a lot of accolades. But to be a football player and turn that into just not being a football player, but learning why you're playing the game of football and how to get better, are good things. And I think Noel Williams brings that to the Chiefs. I could totally see this dude fitting in with Spagnuolo. Matter of fact, the Chiefs do consult with those guys quite a bit. Like Dave Merritt, Steve Spagnuolo, all right, these defensive backs, who do you like the best? Who's on your list? Who kind of checks the boxes for you? And we've heard Brett Veach will do this with Andy Reid and stuff. There'll be a handful of guys. They'll not look at everybody in the draft. Just let me give you a handful of guys. Tell me which of these guys stand out. So you're not sitting there doing all that research and all these guys we're not going to draft. It's not going to matter. Here's the guys that our scouting department likes. And again, when these scouts are on the ground, they go visit these guys. And we'll talk about it more tomorrow because this transfer portal has thrown a loop into what teams do. And Ryan Nutt, head of Chiefs College Scouting, brings it up, the fact that things change. You have to pretty much get a new book when guys hit the transfer portal. But Noel Williams, to me, Rob, when you think about who can be a starter and who can be a contributor, I actually see this guy pushing for a starting role.
His room is so tough because it's got Watson, Williams, and obviously the All-Pro and McDuffie in front of him, but I think he has the best chance to. I think Gelati.
He can push Watson.
I think Gelati has the best chance to be a starter of that group, but I think Noel Williams has a chance to be the biggest star of that group, if that makes sense.
Either one of them. I do think Norman Lott will be in a rotation for the Chiefs on the defensive line. Whether Ashton starts or not, I can definitely see him in a rotation getting snaps for this team. Noel Williams, I do believe, has a chance to play on the outside for the Chiefs because he can't come up and tackle. Just don't always read everything you have. This is the head coach talking to me, former defensive back coach, who's got nothing to gain, to be honest. The player's gone. He's already been drafted by the Chiefs. He could tell you exactly how he feels and about the certain player and said player. And these guys were glowing about Ashton and Noel Williams and Jeff Brohm and Kevin Wilcox. Love talking about them. Easy to talk about. They wanted to. Just like when Jeff Brohm came on the station and talked about George Karloftis once the Chiefs made the pick from Purdue. Coming up next, though, I know that people talked about the slide that happened in the draft, the Shedeur Sanders. But some of this information coming out about how this phone number got out to players, NFL's got to fix this crap. This is a joke. Next.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back, 96.5, The Fan, Jay Binkley, Carrington Harrison, en route to the Kentucky Derby, a bucket list item, so he's going to have a ton of fun there. Talking about the Chiefs draft picks, just a second on the text line, 913-586-7965, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Someone's asking me, Rob, about the character concerns of a Kobe Bryant. Did he have any? He's one of the best all-around corners. How do we let him get away? Well, every team in the NFL let him get away. He ended up with the Atlanta Falcons, undrafted free agent. I know you're a Kansas guy, Rob, but I think the 4.53 that he ran and the 4.59 of Melo Dotson at the combine, who, by the way, Melo Dotson is now a member of the Raiders, I think that hurt them, to be honest with you.
I love Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant was great in college. You know what Kobe Bryant also was? Very thin. Like, he came in at 180.
That's why I wasn't drafted.
I don't think he they tried to put weight on him at Kansas. His frame was just so thin and wiry. He's a good corner, and there's a chance he is a successful corner in the NFL, but I get how the measurables scared people away because he is a little bit slow and a little bit thin.
He had the, let's face it, the best tandem in the Big 12, to be honest with you. Everybody liked Kobe Bryant and Melo Dodson, but the 4.53 at the combine for Kobe. Undrafted goes the Falcons, 4.59 by Melo goes the Raiders. Melo might be more destined for safety. I don't know what you think, but you kind of see that with Melo, maybe playing some safety down the line.
I mean, his ball skills were so good at Kansas. I could maybe playing safety, but I also could see him just kind of washing out. That kind of happens a lot of times to undrafted guys.
One of the things that I know you guys talked about, and a lot of people, the slide of Shedeur Sanders. It's not necessarily about the slide of Shedeur Sanders. I was kind of blown away with this. And I sent Rob something a couple days ago where they were talking, you know, did he have it fair because his number was emailed to people? Here's why his number was emailed. He didn't have an agent, right? Deion Sanders was acting kind of as his agent. Shiloh and Shedeur didn't have an agent. They were using their dad. And a lot of times, you know, they'll give the agent's phone number. You give the agent's phone number, that's who you got to contact. That's just the way it goes. Now, Shiloh, on the other hand, went undrafted by the Buccaneers. And the next day, he fired his dad, kind of firing, whatever you want to call it, but he hired Drew Rosenhaus. So he hires Drew Rosenhaus, undrafted Shiloh Sanders. Shedeur still has his dad. But check this out. Pro Football Talk put this out here. But nearly 2,000 people received the email with Shedeur's phone number. So it's, quote, after the NFL hammered the Falcons, the defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich, for failing to secure Shedeur Sanders' draft day telephone number, the league started pushing the idea that the number was sent to a limited number of people per team in a confidential email. That claim, false, according to Mike, says, first of all, think how ridiculous that sounds. Why would the Falcons, who are never going to draft Sanders, give that information to their defensive coordinator? Hey, Jeff, we're not going to draft another quarterback, but in case you want it, here's the phone number for that. So this phone number went around. Like, I get he didn't have an agent, and then this happened to other players, too. Abdul Carter supposedly got pranked. Tyler Warren got pranked. A bunch of them did. But if your email's being distributed to a bunch of random people, this should never have happened. You should never make the prank call. It should never happen. But then again, does this phone number really need to be in an email going to so many people either, Rob? Like, I don't see the need in this. Although, when you don't have an agent, this is the crap that does happen.
I mean, this is, I know that the Ulbrich kid is to blame, and I don't want to shift the blame from him.
No, 100%.
But the fact that we keep hearing stories that this kind of prank call stuff was happening at other prospects. Abdul Carter got a call, so I'm pranked him saying it's the Jags. Ty Warren got one. Like, the amount of prank calls that leaked out this year in the draft is a real, for a league that celebrates its secrecy and its, you know, we are, you know, buttoned up and we protect all this information. The fact that a lot of phone numbers leaked out and it became a prank call palooza over the draft weekend is not a great look for the league.
It's not a good look for the league. And according to Mike here, he said the league sent this email to the same group that receives the daily transaction report known as the waiver wire. So the people get the waiver wire, got the phone number. One source told them Wednesday night, even the equipment managers received the same email with Shedeur Sanders' number. So, yeah, you can kind of control your front office, you know, what to do and not to do. But when your equipment managers start getting the phone number too, they can be bought, man. They can be bought, and they might be willing to share the information. They got to figure out what they're going to do. Another high-level source with the team other than the Falcons estimated that 60 people per team received those emails. Another source previously had a high-level position with the team other than the Falcons estimated it's more than 60. So if you go by 60, 32 teams, 1,920 people got Shedeur Sanders' email. You may want to be careful with it, but this is what happens. This is why you get the prank calls. You get the prank calls when so many people get the number and probably shouldn't have got the number. That's an NFL problem. But I will say this. He did bring the NFL ratings because drafted very well, even throughout the weekend because people wanted to see where he went. Doesn't give an excuse for somebody to go out and make a prank call, but inevitably, this is why the phone number got out to so many different places. Coming up next, though, we do as you guys do every day at 5, we play the hits. Welcome back to the Drive, Jay Binkley, Carrington Harrison en route to go watch the Kentucky Derby this weekend. Jay Binkley, Rob Brenton. This is what we call the hits.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Being as hard as hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs fast with any university of Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Well, Bink, the top story of the day in Kansas City is the Kansas City Royals. We'll start first with their star, Bobby Witt Jr., who earlier today extended his hit streak to 22 games, a league-leading hit streak. It sounded a lot like this earlier today on 96.5 The Fan.
Fastball bashed high in the air, deep to the right field corner. Meisner turns around. It's gone. An opposite field shot down the right field line. A two-run homer for Bobby Witt Jr. And that puts the Royals in front 3-1 in the top of the fifth inning.
Bink, he has been the catalyst of the offense through what was a difficult stretch for the Royals, but 8 runs today as the boys head to Baltimore after a sweep of the Rays. Bobby Witt Jr., Bink, he's lived up to expectations. How long do you think this history can continue on as the boys in blue need him more and more every day?
Oh, man, it's tough. And you know he's going to be fine pitchers that don't want to be that pitcher that continues the streak, pitch around him, hit him as we saw today. We've seen others. It's going to be tough. I mean, I would love to see it get past 31, more Witt hits. Love to see it get to at least 32. But it's tough. You face better and better pitchers, especially when you start talking about the relief pitchers, not facing pitchers that will face you 5 times in the game any longer. So it's going to be tough, but he's fun to watch. It's good to see the other Royals starting to pick it up and not just be him doing everything, which it has been. 22-game hitting streak now. And finally, he's starting to see Vinny start to hit a little bit. And hopefully, Massey can turn things around. Mikel Garcia has been great. Had another 3 hits today. He's hitting .296 now on the season. Pitching staff's been great, but need more of the offense. Remember Ned Yost used to tell me, hey, give me 3 guys in the lineup that can hit. Just give me 3. Don't care what it is, who it is. At a different times, can they hit? Salvador Perez starting to get hot as well at the right time. But this bodes well for Bobby, because as good as his team gets, it gets Bobby more and more comfort, protection in the front and the back of his batting spots. But he's definitely must-see TV. 22-game hitting streak is ridiculous. I don't care how you slice it. It's crazy with what he's doing, considering that is the threat in this lineup. And many times been the only threat.
Bink, let's make a little prediction time here. Me and you, no one's listening. Let's just have some fun. Does Bobby Witt Jr. make it back to Kansas City with a hitting streak and still intact? He's got 3 in Baltimore. Baltimore pitching is bad. Like, that is one of the reasons why they are where they are this year. They're a sub-500 team out there in Baltimore. Does Bobby Witt Jr. return to the K next Monday with a 25-game hit streak?
I will. He'll be returning the 25-game hit streak. He'll have those White Sox, who were pitching well at the beginning of the year. They can't hit, but they were pitching a little bit better towards the end of the year. But Baltimore is interesting. And I keep hearing this, well, it's a good test for the Royals. No, Baltimore's not a good test. Baltimore's 12-18. Through 30 games, Baltimore's won 12 games. Keep this in mind. 30 games last year, Baltimore's much different. They were 19-11 through 30 games last year. So things have changed for the Baltimore Orioles. This is not the same Baltimore Orioles you saw last year. Can they get hot? Can they turn things around? Absolutely. Teams can. But that pitching, man, continues to be bad for the Orioles.
Number 2.
Speaking of the Kansas City Royals, Bink, they have won 9 of 10 and are arguably the hottest team in Major League Baseball. It felt like just a week ago, because it basically was. The Royals were getting ready for a series against the Rockies. They were sub-500. They were, 9-14 on the heels of a losing 6-7. It felt like it was doom and gloom around the city for the boys in blue. But they then swept the Rockies and have been great since. Bink, as we look back on it, and the Royals are in the midst of this hot streak and are now the 4th best record in the AL, do we credit the Royals for thumping a terrible Rockies team and getting back to winning ways, because sometimes the schedule breaks just right and you get that terrible team that gets you going.
You kept the bad team down. That's what you have to do. It's much, much worse when you lose to a bad team and you have to quantify why you lost to such a bad team. Well, they'd won in Detroit. Took them 10 innings, but they won that game 4-3. That was a huge game, to be honest with you. At Detroit, they'd lost the first two. They go to 9-14. Then against the Rockies, things were cruising. Then all of a sudden, here come the Rockies back in this game. You had to go to 11 innings to beat them. All right, but you do, 4-3. Then came the postponement the next day. Weird day. It's where that rainstorm came in, rained like hell the rest of the night, and it's like, all right. So then they moved it to Thursday, the doubleheader, which, to my chagrin, was during the draft, to be honest with you. It took a couple hours of pregame for the draft. But in that doubleheader, the Royals won 7-4 and 6-2 over the Rockies. Why is that significant? Well, they scored more than four runs. Because just 28 times now, the Royals have scored more than four runs. Only five times this season. Back on March 31st, April 4th, twice on the 24th. Because that was against America's new booty call, the Colorado Rockies. They beat them 7-4 and 6-2 before Houston came in. They beat Houston 2-3 and, of course, sweeping the Astros. But Colorado, at least twice, they were over that four-run plateau that has been so tough to get to. Colorado was just the right time, team at the right time. Remember last year, this team was treading water. They go for four games in Chicago, win all four. Then, of course, that spawned a seven-game winning streak for the Kansas City Royals. So, hey, man, take advantage when you get bad teams. But don't just play around with the bad teams. Beat the hell out of them. You know what? Chicago comes into Kansas City for four after Baltimore. So go win at least win two of three against the Orioles. Maybe you'll lose one. Who knows? It's tough. Major League Baseball is tough. You win two of three, all of a sudden you come back to KC, you get the White Sox for four. And man, are the White Sox just what the doctor ordered, just a lot like the Rockies.
Number three.
Well, Bink, it wouldn't be a show with me and you if we didn't talk a little draft. The draft is exactly a week old, and a week ago today exactly, they were preparing for the first round. But in the third round, the Chiefs took edge player Ashton Gelati out of Louisville. You had his head coach, Brom, on your show, and he said he reminds him, Ashton Gelati, of one current Kansas City Chief.
Well, I'll tell you, it's very similar. It really is. I know when we had Ashton here, it's like, man, we might have us another George Karloftis. And, you know, Ashton is just a guy that has a lot of similar traits. I mean, he plays relentless. He's powerful. He gives great effort. He's one of those guys off the field that you don't have to worry about anything. This guy is going to bring it every day at work. He's going to work in the off season to do everything right, just like George has. I think he could be a 10 to 15 year player. He keeps his body healthy. And I just think he's going to give such a great effort and intensity on every play that he's going to do great things for the Chiefs.
Now, Bank, I don't think he's going to be a 15-year player in the league, so that would make him, 37 as an edge? I
mean, close to 40, yeah.
He's not Terrell Suggs. But, Bank, do you believe, two-part question, one, that Coach Brom is correct, he could live up to expectations and become George Karloftis, and part two, Bank, if, in fact, Coach Brom is correct and he is, in fact, George Karloftis, does that mean the Chiefs get to walk on their current edge because they found their next edge?
He could. I mean, that's the logical thing that happens with this team, because you can't pay everybody. They're going to have four guys now out of the starters in the league that are the highest paid. Creed Humphrey, highest paid center. Chris Jones, highest paid defensive tackle. Harrison Butker, highest paid kicker. Trey Smith about to be the highest paid guard. You can't keep doing this. Like, it's nice. It's great they're able to do it. Props to Brett Veach and be able to sign guys to different contracts. But the Karloftis comparison, I love, because here's the one thing about it. Having a guy with that kind of motor, and Mark Hagan was a defensive coordinator at Purdue that came over with Coach Brom at Louisville. And I love the fact that they exchanged phone numbers. Matter of fact, Ashton said this. It is a post-draft press conference when the media was talking to him.
George, so George and I are coached by the same coach, Mark Hagan. He had him at Purdue, and then Coach Hagan came to us. But the relation with George is he was training with us just because free facility, you know, off season. And so my coach was like, I think this would be a good person to get in with. He's a smart guy. I think you would relate to him a little bit. So, you know, obviously, take advantage of what you can. And I was doing Zoom meetings, or not Zoom meetings, like film study with him, watching plays. He was watching practice being like, oh, that's bad. You got to fix that. Like, he's very critical, but in a lot of ways, he helped refine how I pass rush and, you know, get to this level to be considered. So it's kind of like a mentor type role. I don't be like trying to blow his phone up too much. I try to respect it, but now he ain't got no choice. He's stuck with me.
So he's blowing his phone up. Didn't want to blow his phone up too much, Rob. But now, as he says, he's stuck with him. The one thing I liked about it there, Coach George, right? He's watching film study with him, watching practice. He was training there. But he didn't just tell him how good he was. He told him where he could improve, what he didn't like. And here these guys become teammates. Don't tell me the Chiefs don't think about these type of things. These type of things don't come up as part of the equation when you go out and draft players. That all of a sudden, here's this mentorship that George Karloftis has with one Ashton Gelati.
Number four.
Our fourth and final hit bank stays in that draft lane. Stays in that third round lane, as the Chiefs didn't have one, but they had two third round picks. They didn't just take Ashton Gelati, the edge rusher of Louisville. They also took Noel Williams, the cornerback out of Cal. You had his head coach, Justin Wilcox, on the show, and he said, what type of player the Chiefs are getting in Noel Williams?
I mean, he was the guy that he woke up. He was one of the first guys in the building because he had a routine. You know, he was taking care of his body. He was doing cold tubs. He wanted to make sure and get his food, you know, early in the morning before we had meetings and practice. You know, what time he went to bed. He was very he had a very strict schedule for himself. And so I think the best way that I could describe him, and he's like a number of guys that we had this year on that side that are getting drafted, is they were making decisions about football when they're outside the football building. And so I think, you know, probably that, and he's got a great personality. He's a fun guy to be around, but he just get very serious about his craft, and he took it serious and made decisions, you know, regarding his football life really at each and every moment. So I think that there's a reason that he played so well and improved during his time here. And again, I'm sure he's going to attack this next phase the same way.
Bink, I know it's a third round pick. I know you didn't like the first round pick, but this is the guy I circle as the best pick in the future from the Kansas City Chiefs. When we look back at the 2025 draft, are you with me and Noel Williams will be the star the Chiefs got?
Yes, 100%. I agree totally with you on this. Noel Williams was my favorite pick. We talked about a lot on the Character Concerns draft special. My favorite pick of the draft for the Chiefs. Let's fake about it for a second. This guy had two fumble returns for touchdowns at Cal, one interception return. Oh, and one kickoff return as well. That's very important to the Chiefs. Remember, they won the draft guys that not only good playing positions, but also guys that could be good in the return game as well, with the return coming up to 35 instead of the 30-yard line. I keep hearing stuff about, well, he's a shaky tackler, and he may not be a great tackler, whether you've read a publication and say, well, there's one publication that's very good, and it's called The Beast by Dayton Brugler, who puts it out. It's one of the best. And this is what he had to say about his run. It says, outstanding run defender, willing to set hard edge. Also, forceful tackler who brings his feet, keeps eyes up, and rarely misses. Willing to throw hands. This guy, despite what you may have heard, very good against the run, very good at setting the edge. This is the perfect specs guy. Now, pass rush, maybe they'll use him, maybe they won't. Outside corner, maybe they'll use the inside, like a Trent McDuffie, that he can go inside now when Fulton's here. And, of course, Jalen Watson and or a Noel Williams on the outside. But make no mistake about it, they'll find the best way to utilize this guy. But he has shown the ability to get to the ball. The guy is a ball taker. He is a possession flipper. You don't make 14 interceptions in college football, almost one every two games, by not being a guy that's around the football. Nine pass breakups. He led the nation in interceptions this year with seven. This guy can play. I'm excited to see what he can do, because you know Dave Merritt and Steve Spagnuolo have special things for this dude. I feel this guy can be a starter. I know Rob's felt that way as well, but we talked about two guys that we really think could be starters. Yes, a lot of rotation pieces on some of the other draft picks, but certain guys like Royals at wide receiver, be fourth wide receiver, that's fine. I expect good production from him. Jalen Royals, he'll be that fourth spot probably. He'll be fighting with Juju over it. But, you know, you have Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice in the equation, Hollywood Brown. So the pressure is not going to be there like you've seen on other wide receivers. But as far as being a starter, I do think Noel Williams would be one of those guys really knocking on the door to be a starter for the Chiefs on day one.
And that concludes the Hits Bank, brought to you by Baker University. Your guys earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu.
Hey, before I move on to the Royals one more time, are you a fan of Mountain Dew, Rob? I heard you and C-Dot yesterday talking about, I believe it was yesterday, talking about how Texas Roadhouse is now the number one restaurant, followed by Olive Garden, Chili's, love Chili's, followed by Applebee's and Buffalo Wild Wings. Love Buffalo Wild Wings too, by the way.
I am not a Mountain Dew guy. I'm not really, this is going to make me sound soft, and that's fine. I'm not a huge, I don't handle caffeine well. I have my one cup, maybe two cups of coffee in the morning, but like, if it gets to like 4, 5, 6 o'clock at night, if I have caffeine, I don't sleep well. So, man, that makes me a loser, whatever, so be it. I'm not a Mountain Dew guy because the caffeine, I'm that way with most sodas. It just does, the caffeine does things to me I don't like.
I hear so many people talking about being a coffee drinker. I'm not talking about going to Starbucks and getting a latte. If you're a coffee drinker, you know what you do? You crank up some Folgers in the morning. You crank up that. But I feel like coffee's become a latte or mocha type thing. No, coffee's Folgers, man. The smell of Folgers when you wake up. I'm not a coffee guy, to be honest with you, never have been. But I have been to Monster Energy drinks, Red Bull. Matter of fact, had one earlier today. I will do that. But Mountain Dew, man, there is something about a Mountain Dew in the morning, Rob. That is my go-to coffee. You know what? It's nice and cold. It's in the fridge. I keep my Mountain Dews there. I love having a nice Mountain Dew. And by the way, on those shows, those fans football shows we were doing last football season on Fridays with Mitch Schwartz, did you know Buffalo Wild Wings has a special blend of Mountain Dew only available at Buffalo Wild Wings? It's the only place you can get it, Rob. The only place. I know they have one already for Taco Bell as well, but they had one for Buffalo Wild Wings.
It's like a specialty beer brew type of deal, but for Mountain Dew? Or is it like the Coke machine at McDonald's where it's just that Coke hits different? Is that kind of how
it
works? I've never heard of this before.
It's a special Mountain Dew only available at Buffalo Wild Wings. It was purple. It came in purple, but I love Mountain Dew, and I would order a regular Mountain Dew when I got there. And they said, why don't you try this one that they just make for Buffalo Wild Wings? And I was like, okay, then let's try it. Because we were on our Buffalo Wild Wings circuit of all the Buffalo Wild Wings in the city and St. Joe, you name it, Buffalo Wild Wings. But I started drinking this drink. Absolutely loved it. But here's the deal. Here's why I bring it up. So when you buy a Mountain Dew, which most of the times now I do, I looked at my fridge, I looked at the label. And the ones here we have in our company kitchen, it still has MTN Dew. They shortened the mountain. I heard from somebody in Kansas today. I knew they were going to put these new labels out starting in May and going through summer. They're returning to Mountain Dew, actually spelling the word mountain out on the labels, Rob. First time since 2009. You can't go wrong with that. I love the fact that Mountain Dew is getting a new label, getting a new look, going back to Mountain Dew, not MTN Dew. Because I feel like we shorten everything these days. LOL, OMG, ROTFL, we shorten everything. Mountain Dew's now MTN. No, we're going back to Mountain Dew. And I did survey the counters, and we still have MTN Dews.
Text line is telling me now. The text line loves to just say things and say it's act like it's correct. So, grain of salt. Apparently, a lot of restaurants have their own secret exclusive Mountain Dew flavor bank, including and not limited to Applebee's.
Really?
You might have to do a tour to restaurant to taste all the Mountain Dew exclusives, because I know Taco Bell has one. I just learned about Buffalo Wild Wings. Text line is saying they have a special one at Applebee's as well. Heaven forbid there's one at Chili's. I'm sure you've had that one if it exists. You might have to do a tour of the town for Mountain Dew.
Well, they have to be a Pepsi company, or they just, you know, get them both from the distributors, because a lot of times the Coke distributors won't have Mountain Dew because that's a Pepsi product. Some do. I didn't realize Applebee's had a special Mountain Dew. They've closed a couple of the Applebee's near me, and evidently it's still, fourth in the sit-down restaurants. I heard you guys talking about it, so I started doing more research on it. Applebee's still up there. But no, I do know Buffalo Wild Wings had their own Mountain Dew. And yes, there's a lot of sugar in it. The text line tells me nothing better than a cold can of Mountain Dew in the morning. True, but I've been using the bottles.
But I looked it up because I was curious.
Okay. I use it for a spit can. I'll be honest with you.
Here are the list of restaurants that have exclusive Baja Blast, currently exclusive Mountain Dew flavors. KFC has one called Sweet Lightning. Witch, the sandwich place, I believe that's still in town, has one called Vibe. There's Dark Berry Bash at Applebee's. There's the one you mentioned at Buffalo Wild Wings, Legend.
It is
also,
good.
Also, at gas stations around town, 7-Eleven has an exclusive flavor. Circle K has an exclusive flavor. Casey's has an exclusive flavor. And if you go to a Dollar General, they have an exclusive flavor. There was a larger list of restaurants that used to have exclusives, but they have stopped a lot of those. So you might have to do a tour of Kansas City just to get the Mountain Dew exclusives.
I might have to, but I'm just a fan of the regular Mountain Dew. But I did a Buffalo Wild Wings drink their special blend of Mountain Dew. But this is creative, if this is what they're doing. Because every place feels special. They have a special blend of Mountain Dew. Text line agrees. They love Mountain Dew. They love waking up in the morning, grabbing caffeine. Hey, same as coffee. Coffee just takes longer, man. You got to brew it, whatever. Everybody's got to smell it, whatever. But you don't have to mess with it, man. You just go to the fridge and grab a cold Mountain Dew. There's no better way to wake up in the morning and grab that Mountain Dew. It's perfect. Anyway, didn't talk about the Royals. I'm sure we'll talk about them more coming up as we spent time talking about Mountain Dew.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back to The Drive. Jay Binkley, Carrington Harrison. It's going to the Kentucky Derby this weekend. Royals win today 8-2. They scored over four runs. Double that, 8-2. Bobby Witt Jr. extends that hitting streak to 22 games. Royals now two games over 500 at 17-15. Text line, by the way, I didn't realize this, but you guys love your Mountain Dew. Even so that this 816 said he did a tour of Mountain Dew with his teenage sons last year. They got eight different ones and had a party, Rob. They're touring around to Mountain Dew. I'm shocked that we have this many Mountain Dew text in, but I'm learning a lot. I thought that... found a special place, had a special blend, and they had it. But still, every morning, I know people like the cans, but man, 16.9 ounces of Mountain Dew, it hits a spot. Even so, I get the 24-ounce Mountain Dews there for a while, but that's a perfect morning drink for me. But as I mentioned, the Royals win today 8-2. Now, five games out of the 32 they've played, they have scored more than four runs, going back to March 31st. April 4th, twice on April 24th, and once today, of course, against Tampa Bay in May as they went 8-2 as we've turned the calendar to May now. It's still shocking to me the Royals have played 32 games. Doesn't seem like it, but now they go play into the 12-18 Baltimore Orioles, who, by the way, were 19-11 through 30 games last year. The Royals play a weekend set against Baltimore. Already seen them here in Kansas City, so they'll put that series to bed in Baltimore before coming home. And the Chicago White Sox can be right here for them. Chicago White Sox for four games in Kansas City. It's fun. I do feel like the Royals have become that thing you have on every night again, which is good. That's a good thing, because I remember 14, 15, 16, 17. I think even 13, a lot of people did it, because they weren't officially eliminated until that final weekend in Chicago back in 2013. But the Royals become the thing you watch. I know people were watching the other day, and they didn't have the audio feed for TV. It wasn't right, so they're using the Rays. But I will say this. It's always available on 96.5 The Fan. You can always listen to the Royals broadcast if you want. But whether it's background noise or whatever, I don't know how you consume the Royals, Rob. I don't know if you sit there and watch every at-bat or every game, or if it's just kind of always on when you're doing your work or you're wrapping up the day. You can check out what the Royals are doing.
I'm a check-in type of person. I think I love baseball because baseball... at least this time of year, in October, it is live and die by every pitch. I love baseball because it's just something you can have on in the background. You don't have to lock into every single moment. You can kind of keep an eye on it. That's kind of how I watch the Royals. But I'm just happy that, you know, there was a time in that losing streak where it felt like the only time we're going to talk Royals in this show is going to be just doom and gloom, massive regression from last season. Can you believe they can't hit this, that, and the other? And it feels like, at least early, knock on wood, they're starting to turn the corner. They're coming out of the, you know, bad spell. They're hitting a little bit better. Their offense isn't relying on just one guy anymore. Is Michael Garcia?
Because Arizona,
better.
They were tearing it up.
It feels like we're starting to see the team we were promised, and that team had the city excited. I remember before opening day this year, the conversation was, if Jonathan India can get on base more, it makes Bobby Witt a run producer. Suddenly you have another weapon in the offense. If one of the Massey, Garcia, Melendez guys can take the step forward, you have another weapon on the offense. Now, Melendez and Massey don't appear to take that step forward. I mean, Melendez isn't even in the Major League club anymore, but it does look like Mikel Garcia is taking that. And remember before opening day, the conversation was this bullpen combined with this starting rotation might build one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. And here we sit 30-ish games in on May 1st. The Royals are above 500 despite having a terrible stretch in the middle of April. And they might have the best pitching staff of all of baseball. And having a great pitching staff, as Dave Morrissey says, the currency of baseball, will give you a chance in every single game. And it is exciting again to watch the boys in blue. And they have two very winnable series on the horizon between the Orioles and White Sox. I mean, it could be a week from today, Bink, me and you are talking, and we're talking about a team that's what could be 23, you know, 24 wins. That's a very different feel to the city has the boys in blue just a week in advance. Considering a week ago it was, hey, good job beating the Rockies, but it's just the Rockies.
Yeah, but then they go do it in Tampa. They win a series on the road. They sweep a series on the road. Because that was the one question. Yeah, the Royals play okay at Kauffman Stadium, but on the road, it's a little bit weaker. Well, they go and sweep the Rays. And the Rays are still looked upon as maybe a team that can make a run at the postseason. They're 14-17 now. They were 500 until they met the Kansas City Royals. They're right there in the thick of things, only four games back from the Yankees, to be honest with you, in a loaded division with the Yankees, Red Sox, and Blue Jays in front of them, but there they are. In the AL Central, you get Detroit now, who's not been great, just 6-4 in their last 10 games. Cleveland, just 6-4 in their last 10. The Royals have won 9 of their last 10. They're 9-1 their last 10 games. They're getting hot at the right time. Minnesota was hot there for a while, but they're still 6-4 in their last 10 games. But still, I see this thing as the summer progresses, a two-team race. Detroit and Kansas City. Always felt that way. I still feel that way. But you know what? It's great having the pitching because you'd like to say, well, the pitching will start to come back to the means. Bubich will come back to the means. Lorenzo will come back to the means. Maybe. Maybe they'll carry it on. Statistics would say, no, it's not going to happen. But with Reagans and Lugo, you know, these two were two of the top four last year in the Cy Young. So they have proven history in Kansas City, have been able to do this throughout the year. And I do think the bats will come around. With Vinny hitting right behind Bobby Witt, for him to be hitting better is only better for Bobby Witt Jr. I know his average now at 185, did have a home run yesterday, had a couple ribs today. And then Sal Perez starting the heat up, he hits behind Vinny. All these things help out Bobby Witt Jr. And India getting on base, this helps out Bobby Witt Jr. He led the Reds last year in on-base percentage, one of the best in baseball as far as getting on base. It's one of those things that Jonathan India does. It's why you see they made that move. And will the Royals make a move to bring in another bat? Maybe. Keggs going to be on the fast track. I know that Cody and Gold have, what, 215 people now? They went out and maybe trying to get 150 to go down to Springfield to watch Keggs. Now you got 215 going for the Cody and Gold road trip, which is great. He'll be in Omaha soon. And will he be playing more and more right field? He started to play a little bit that in Northwest Arkansas. We'll see what happens. But that's a bat you can definitely see in this lineup. I know a lot of people have been talking about Arenado. In fact, you could put him in here, put him in your lineup. You could then put Mikel Garcia at second base and have an Arenado at third. It depends on Massey. If Massey would start hitting, he's hitting 190 now, that is an option. That is an option going forward, starting to look at bats and who would be a good bat in this lineup, unless you want to be patient. Be patient and see if the hitting will start hitting. Because you're now in May, bats are starting to wake up. They definitely woke up a tune of 8 runs today against Tampa. They, like I said, they only had 4 games. They had more than 4 runs. 4, that was it until today. Today was the 5th day. So you've played 32 games and only 5 games you've had more than 4 runs. That's crazy to think this team is a couple games over 500. It's insane to me to think that, but that's the way they are. They're grinders. They're hard workers. It is fun to watch the Kansas City Royals, and I do think this team will keep this town occupied throughout the summer, even throughout the beginning of Chiefs season. I think people are still going to be paying attention to what the Kansas City Royals are doing. And this is a good thing. I know they're honoring the 2015 team this July against the Mets. It hardly seems like it's been 10 years, but now it's go time. Made the playoffs last year. I do feel they'll make it again this year as well. FanGraphs put it out. They gave the Royals a 69% chance, or no, 67% chance to make the postseason this year. They have Detroit at number 1. at 99%. And they have the Royals number two in the division at 67%. Cleveland, they have at 35%. And that was Baseball Reference. But if you want to go to something really, really analytical, and you look at the American League to make the wild card, they've got the Red Sox, 59.7% chance. Astros, 57.5%. Again, the Royals beat the Astros 2 out of 3. They've got the Rangers at 45.1%. Then, boom, there's the Royals at 40.4%, followed by the Twins for some reason, then the Guardians. Oh, by the way, the White Sox were last, Rob. They've got a 0% chance to make the postseason, according to FanGraphs.
Despite the fact they beat the brakes off the Brewers today? Maybe get an update. Now the White Sox have won another game. Maybe it's all changed on the, is the South side the White Sox or is it the North side?
It's the South side. It's actually a decent stadium. I actually enjoyed going there.
I hated it.
It's insane because nobody says that. I actually liked it.
I hated it. I was in Chicago. I was doing all the touristy stuff. I went to Wrigley. And I was like, you know what? I'm in town. Let's go to a Sox game too. Not nearly as fun in a way worse part of town. Nothing going on around the stadium. The stadium itself was fine, but compared to Wrigley, which is probably unfair to compare it to.
That is very unfair.
After going, I flew up on a Friday morning, did a day in Wrigleyville, went to a day game on a Friday afternoon, Cubs. Then I hit Wrigleyville afterwards.
That's the south side, by the way, where the Cubs are.
Okay, so I hit that. And then on Sunday, I was like, before I get out of town, let's go to the north side and let's see the White Sox. Way less fun. Just light years less fun.
Oh, wait a minute. The Cubs play the north side. It's the White Sox on the south side.
I don't know which side, but either way. Wrigley was fun. I think it was U.S. Cellular when I was there. Not fun at all.
Was a guaranteed rate. Man, I actually liked that stadium. It's, believe it or not, I was there for the Royals in 14 when they ended up clinching.
I think you liked it because the Royals clinched in 14, because the stadium was some, you know, grand old time.
Well, there was a sports bar that was the radio station that carries the White Sox. That was one place, like the only place to go to. But I just remember like toll roads everywhere. It's like you had to have your quarters and everything ready to pay it in Chicago. But anyway, I wasn't a big fan of Chicago, but it's neither here nor there. But they beat the White Sox there. They'll get the White Sox coming up again. Text time is talking about the Mets. Mets are a red-hot team. Yes, they did win 10 out of 12. Things are different now. The Diamondbacks came in. They beat them again today. They've won the last two games against New York Mets. Arizona Diamondbacks coming in and making a statement there against the New York Mets. Royals will play them later on in Arizona this year. We come back. Good stuff, though, from the Royals. I don't know if you're watching. You should be. We'll talk about them next.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan. Carrington Harrison going to the Kentucky Derby this weekend. You do realize, Rob, I think it's going to rain this weekend. I don't know if you've seen the forecast.
I have not seen the forecast. You know what that means? You got to pick a mutter.
Yeah, you got to pick a mutter. And I'll text Henry because he was good at picking that thaw. Supposedly, there's only three of them for mudding experience. Admire Daytona, which 30-1 has experience in it. Publisher, 20-1 as far as having a mudding experience. And I will say this, news just came out from The Athletic. The Bob Baffert trained horse Rodriguez, who had 12-1 odds, third best in the field, scratched from the Kentucky Derby because of a bruised foot. So he's no longer in it.
Didn't Baffert get suspended for a while for the Derby?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know, but he trained this horse evidently. But Baffert's like Saban, man. I always pick Baffert horses because he's like the Saban of horse racing. I just go with it. But
Bob Baffert gets about three months of fame and glory, and then he disappears from the ether. That's into the ether. Excuse me.
He just makes a lot of money and goes out and starts breeding his horses.
He's a trainer, though, right? He just trains them. He gets them running. I didn't think he was a breeder. I thought he was the trainer.
Yeah, I guess he is a trainer, yeah. But I guess they turn around and breed the horse, make a lot of money. Publisher, by the way, who's racing, is the son of the 2015 Triple Crown winner, American Pharoah. So that might be one to look at there. American Promise, high odds at him. I like him as a horse. I don't know. We'll talk more horse tomorrow. But definitely find the mutters because it looks like it could be muddy. So I'll check in with Henry and see what he says. I know Brett Veach really likes horse racing as well. That's one of those guys that Not only is he good at the draft, he's good at Formula One, NASCAR, and picking horses as well.
Is he good at it, or is he just like watching it? There's a difference in being good at it and liking it.
I don't know. He's got the money now. He can buy a horse. He can do it. You call him Mahomes or whatever.
I don't mean this as an insult to Brett Veach. Brett Veach does not have buy a horse money. He's
got buy the horse money.
How much do you think these horses cost?
I don't know. A million? A couple million?
No.
More than that.
He does not have buy a horse. He can buy into a team, like a team buys a couple horses. Team. I don't think Brett Veach has a horse out there.
Does Mahomes have but he's got buy a
Mahomes
horse money.
Might.
He's got a part of that Formula One team.
There was like a couple Saudi princes that had horses. Like this is big money. This is not millionaire money.
Well, American Promise, I say he's a 2018's Triple Crown winner, Justify, the son of 2018. So you find there Dwayne Lucas. I've heard of him. He's a good trainer. As far as text line, south side or north side, I know it's south side. I was there when the Royals clinched at 14. It's all that matters. I will say this. I know they have south side on their City Connect jerseys. That's right. They do. Did you see their other City Connect jerseys? They're wearing a tribute to the Chicago Bulls. They have Chicago Bulls like uniforms. Yeah, do you like those?
I mean, I don't like it because not their color scheme, but I saw they're doing it. I think it's really goofy to have it not. It'd be like, if the Royals start wearing red for the Chiefs, I think that's goofy too. Like, where are your colors?
Some people think so. I don't go for that. They look cool. I've seen some of the renderings. Man, don't go Chicago Bulls if you're the White Sox. And some of these City Connects are terrible. I love the Royals. They think they're the best City Connects. Not because I live here, because I do think it. Like, the Mets have that bridge on it. It's stupid. On the helmet, and they're like purple and gray and stuff. Man. The City Connects of the Royals are awesome. Love that. We'll talk more Derby tomorrow. We'll look into who are some of the best mutters. Rob Britton, this is Jay Binkley. Logan Weber comes next with After Hours. We'll see you guys tomorrow.